when the life you are living is answered prayers on answered prayers, what more could you ask for? And when the wind blows you in the right direction, the only right call is to free fall. Welcome back to your favorite podcast, my wonderful Jet Tribe. Before we even dive into this episode, I want to urge each and every one of you to tour Uganda and get well acquainted with the beauty surrounding us, a place we get to call home. This year has been one for travel, and it's just the beginning for me. I have been to Bunyoro, West Nile, Eastern Region, Mbale, Kapchora, and beyond, back to Jinja a couple of times, and my highlight, Makshin Falls National Game Park. So let's lock in, tribe, on touring UG. Tourism is something I'm deeply passionate about. Honestly, it's all I want to do, travel the world, document untold stories, and discover the many versions of myself. And what better place to start that journey than home? Growing up, my mom traveled a lot for work, mostly international trips. And while I'd miss her, one thing always made me feel better: the gifts. The more trips she took, the more exciting the gifts she brought back. Clothes, toys, little treasures from places I could only dream of. This sparked a motivation in me to make my life a travel life. And at first it was about shopping and souvenirs, but as I grew older, it became about so much more. Travel became my way of connecting with people, learning new cultures, and discovering God in different corners of the world. When I prayed for a job, I was very specific. I wanted one that allowed me to travel. And since March, I've been on the move, town to town, city to city, witnessing breathtaking landscapes, meeting new communities, and trying to learn new languages, comparing and contrasting regions, and simply living. In this episode, I'll highlight some trips that left an indelible mark on me, starting with my first time in West Nile. I never had any expectations of this region because I've never even Googled it to know what life looks like that side. I have just never been interested. And what a big shame. My friend Enid, who comes from Arua, has always told us how beautiful it is. But for some reason, I had never been as intentional in learning more about where she came from. So yes, again, what a shame. For me, travel isn't just about the destination, it's about the journey as well. The road trip to West Nile was stunning. Wide green fields, and then dry savannas, hills, forests, and of course Karuma Dam. Very, very powerful. We didn't pass through the park itself, Makshin Falls National Game Park. But this didn't stop us from still seeing some few animals, giraffes and elephants along the way. And after what felt like an eternity, Arua finally appeared on the horizon, majestic, clean and orderly and very cultured. It reminded me of what Kampala could have been, or what it briefly tried to be during Musisi's era. It is very organized, and this is something I have come to realize about upcountry major cities, be it Jinja or Mbale. They have this certain structure and city plan that is evident and smart. Naye, Kampala, you have a major residence neighboring someone's restaurant next to a mosque and then like a bar on the same road. Eish. But what I loved most about Arua was the culture. Most of the women wore African fabric dresses. And not these things of long ago that were weird. These women were smart. I was inspired by them. I do wear African fabric from time to time because my mother is a designer who majorly focuses on the African. But if that were not the case, I do not think I would wear it as often or have the love for it. But these women challenged me to do better, to wear my African heritage proudly and smartly, to embrace my roots rather than try to fit in with the latest Western trends. I mean, of course, I would love a dress from House of CB, but I should balance it with the love I have for my homeland as well. And so should you, because if not us, then who will keep our heritage alive? Well, in Arua, we stayed at Lesuba Hotel, which was very, very decent. It was well stocked with all essentials you could need. And Zeba and I'm that person who always take one of those as a souvenir, so it matters highly when a hotel has all these things, like those shampoo, those wood, tiny things. The second trip I'd love to highlight was the one to Eastern Region, past Jinja, my other home. I stayed in Mbale at Mbale Resort Hotel, and guys, the other hotel was a solid 9 out of 10. I'm sparing the one because I am selfish. But honestly, this hotel gives luxury for Ugandan standards. It's beautiful in and out. It has this lovely driveway like a boulevard leading up to the main building. The reception and lounge area are warmly lit up, a scented chandelier, beautiful warm color tones. They even have that hallway piano instrumental going on, carpeted hallways, and the rooms give executive vibes. I was living a life of luxury, a luxurious. And my balcony overlooked the backside, having my tiny forest view. And the whole surrounding was really beautiful. They have this beautiful compound. And wow, I was shocked. I won't lie to you people. I was shocked and I was impressed. If you hadn't yet clocked it, another essential bit of travel for me is the accommodation. Because, man, you have to go to a place that looks kawa and feels kawa, comfortable, and makes you feel like, yes, you have left home, you have traveled, and you're going back with these beautiful memories. But heads up, Mbale can become extremely cold, especially on rainy days. So I advise you to get a card over the. Do not say I did not look out for you. Now, Mbale was mainly a rest area, like a base, but the real work was in Kaptura and beyond, in Kwen and Buko. Bet you have never heard of those two, huh? Worry not, you are not alone. They are up somewhere in the clouds, like literally above cloud line. Because we kept on going higher and higher, and from the car window, you could see the clouds at eye level. I'm not even exaggerating, but my favorite part was Kaptura out of the three towns. Like, Kaptura, wow, you beauty. The winding roads that lead you from the flat landscape to the highlands of Kaptura, unfolding like a living masterpiece. From up there, the plains stretch endlessly, their flatness contrasting beautifully with the ragged cliffs and rolling hills above. And as though that is not enough, God sprinkles in a bit of waterfalls here and there. Imagine rounding a corner on the main road only to be welcomed by water gushing out from a tiny opening. Most of the ones we had seen earlier were a bit far, like in the high hills, but this one was right here on the road. Thank God it wasn't only me amazed by this sight, but my colleagues as well. So we hopped out and took pictures and videos and admired. It was simply breathtaking. It was honestly, wow. The air is even different there. Effortless to inhale, clean but thin. The kind that makes your ears hurt because of the high altitude. So quick tip, carry chewing gum if you have plans of traveling there. Then a few kilometers ahead, we passed by the famous Sipi Falls, but on the way to Kwen, which is like after, they are hidden, so you can only see them properly on your way back, like on the descent, if that makes sense. And even though I saw them at a little distance, they are still magnificent. water just fascinates me, man, in all forms. That's nothing new. I've said this before over and over again. Culturally, I noted that the people here have short structures, like short home structures, and yet they aren't short people. But the houses were extremely limited, like very close to the ground. Unfortunately, I did not get a chance to ask why, but maybe next time I go back. I'd say that Kaptura has a small resemblance to the scenery of Kisoro Hills. However, the major difference between the two is how vast the valley is in the former compared to the hilly latter. Like for Kaptura, you can see a lot of valley and it's flat, like it's a whole zone going down there. But for Kabale Kisoro, it's more of hilly hills and very little valley. Get up now and go see this place, you guys. Instagram and the news don't do it enough justice. You just need to be there. You need to go and see it with your own eyes. And now, my last adventure for this very episode is the one and only Jinja City, of course. Now, for me, Jinja has been two phases this year. Being back in Jinja was like a Musama returning home. I kid. But seriously, Jinja felt like a homecoming. Dancing with nostalgia at every corner we took, every street we drove past, inhaling the familiar stench of sewage. Honestly, we gotta do better there. We have to do better. But with all that, I felt at home. Every component welcomed me like I had never left. With arms wide open, I embraced Jinja once again. And the most amazing thing was the familiarity of it all. Yes, I love to discover new places, but who knew that rediscovering familiar spaces was as exciting and exhilarating? For the first time, I was home alone in Jinja City. No mommy, no family, just me reliving my teenage memories as a 20-something grown-up and creating new plus better memories. But as much as I love Jinja, I feel it hasn't lived up to its potential as Uganda's tourism capital. Jinja doesn't change. The city needs revitalization, something fresh to draw people in year after year. Because if you were there last, like over a decade ago, trust me, it looks exactly the same, just pricier, 2 to 3 new buildings, and that's it. That's the only thing I dislike about it, the stagnancy. And me, I don't deal with stagnancy. I just know. Jinja is that gold mine that isn't exploited in the right ways that it should be. Jinja is a city of tourism, but it doesn't give the right travel image at all. You see how people keep returning to Dubai year after year? You could think they pay them. Well, it's because there's something new to see always. And this is just one example that I decided to single out since I've seen it in 3D. Well, kinda. But even without the comparison, honestly, why is the heart of our tourism not pumping as hard as it should be? These are things that really unsettle me. But anyways, away from the negatives. My first stay was at Source of the Nile Hotel. Not much to this one, but excellent location to move about to different places. After work, I mainly hung out at Bourbon Restaurant, right at the River Nile, overlooking the new Jinja Bridge. Excuse me. And it's perfect for a solo chill. I used to go with my novel, grab a soda, and just like chill and listen to the water flowing, enjoy the evening breeze, watch the sunset over the Nile. Some romantic kind of, you know, vibe, but alone, and it was really beautiful. There's not much to eat, however, and yet it has the potential to have much, much more. Maybe it's because of the days I went there, but a place like that could really work on improving their aesthetic. They have ample space, like there's a hall upstairs and then down here next to the water, a natural, beautiful scenery. But they have such bare minimum arrangement. And as a travel enthusiast, these are the things that give me the ick. Do not get me wrong. It is an okay place. It's cutesy, but it could be way better. I'm telling you, it could be way, way better. Even the service could be, as for the service, I won't even get into that right now. Another place I spent most of my time was Hotel Paradise. Now, this is my special place in Jinja. Like, we are locked in. We used to go here with mom almost every week, if not more than once a week. We were so obsessed with that place. We even have this waitress that we used to always use. Like, every single time, she would be the one to come to us. Like, even the other staff knew. And going back, and she was there, I was so excited, and she remembered me. She was excited to see me. She asked about my family and all that. It really felt beautiful. So Hotel Paradise has the best food in Jinja, and it's very affordable, and they give you very good amounts. The ice cream is to die for. If you've been to Jinja, if you're still in Jinja and you're listening to this from Jinja, you better go to Hotel Paradise right now and tell them that you want ice cream. Of course, order food as well. But if all else fails, order ice cream and tell them that Joy, and ask for Kathy, the waitress, and tell her that Joyce sent you. I'm glad it didn't disappoint when I ordered for it this time. And if you listen to episode one, you know that I recorded episode one of season two, Major Life Update. You know that I recorded it from this very place. It low-key felt like a full circle kind of moment, because I used to have so many daydreams back then when I would come here, but some of those dreams are now my reality. Cool, ain't it? Absolutely. And of course, my second stay was just a couple of weeks ago, my birth week. Like, honestly, what are the odds that I got to spend my birthday in Jinja at Nyege Nyege Festival, attending for free? Like, everything was just perfect. There's a way things always just align when I am in Jinja, and I absolutely love it. This time, I stayed at Mansion Hotel, which happens to be owned by a very close friend to my mom. Again, I ask, what are the odds? So, Nyege Nyege Festival 2024. This was my first time ever attending this event. I had some anticipation from before to go and see what actually happens here. The first venue was actually near our home back in the day. And I remember there's once we were taking an evening stroll with mom and my siblings. With mom and my siblings, sorry. And we passed by the venue days before the event to, like, just check it out. Because it was literally the back, okay, not the backyard, but it was in the hood somewhere. That's the closest I had ever gotten to attending. So years later, here I was. And guys, it breaks my heart to say this, but I have to be honest with you. This was my first, but also my last Nyege Nyege. You know, those things you experiment for the sake of knowing what it feels like, that was it for me. Bambi, it refused. And I was there for all the days, from before it began, day one, till Saturday. I only missed Sunday, and surely I wouldn't count the last day as a miss. I did not understand the show. I did not see the cause for hype. I did not feel it at all. I was glad to be there for my curiosity to be fed. And I loved people watching, because yes, this event actually does pull all sorts of crowds. I'm telling you, all sorts of crowd. You think you've seen one thing, then you see another. But I don't know if it's because of all the negative PR it's been receiving over the years and the serious prayers guys are praying. But the whole over indecency, nudity, people doing things over busego, like they say it in Luganda, like immoral behavior. I didn't see any of that stuff, to be honest. And I walked that place. I walked those grounds from east to west, north to south. And it was like an open, imagine how you can have, let's say, Acacia Avenue or Bandali Rise. All the bars are close to each other, but instead of having perimeter walls separating them, they're like tents. So that's how it was, like an open space like that. Like a concert, let me just say, a concert with Bumini concerts happening. That is how it was like. For those that couldn't make it, or those that have a desire to go for it, let me just paint the picture for you. Different stages for different music genres, of which they literally neighbor each other. So there can be like some noise pollution, which results from the competition. Like this one wants to be heard, the other one wants to be heard. Then there are cultural performances. I watched the Burundian dance and I really love it. Those are my favorite African drums. So that made me really happy. But then there were also some other strange cultural performances. I'm not sure they even belong to any of our cultures here, or it was just for show because they were weird and giving real evil vibes. I'm not even joking about that. Real evil vibes. Each tent had its own setup. The UG tent, the UG Lemon setup was really cutesy. But my favorite tent was the UBL one. It was quite engaging. And I was even prized a vacuum bottle for answering some question correctly. And for it being my birthday, they even sang for me. Like, oh, I felt so touched. Other than that, truth be told, nothing stood out for me like the exorbitant prices of food and drinks. Mwe. It was a madness. A Rolex was 4K, guys. 4K. Meanwhile, these normal ones of Nyanjambisi, not even New Girl type. Then some mad lady wanted to sell to me a small Fanta Mini at 4K. Utter madness, I am telling you. Utter madness. If you are a Nyege Nyege planner and you are listening to this, here is some unsolicited advice, or call it feedback, from a reveler. First, go back to the drawing board and restudy the audience, especially the Ugandan one, because things are giving downward trajectory, I won't lie. And before you ask me how I know this, yet it was the only one I have attended, well, I made my own research and even the usual attendees raised the same opinion. Our economy is doing badly. It's doing badly. I mean, if Stan Chart is closing, in fact, the whole country should just close down. Our economy is doing really badly, if that's not the biggest understatement. And purchasing power lies in a few hands. And those few individuals are not the main target audience for an event like Nyege Nyege, unfortunately. So when someone computes all costs from transport, accommodation, drinks and eats, other miscellaneous, and to top it off with that entrance fee, even though it's just one day, it is a lot of money and the investment is not that worth it anymore. Nyege needs something more unique. If it means bringing international artists that we actually know, then maybe. But the problem with Ugandan event organizers is that they shall hike prices further because they have to cover their own costs and not make losses. So the problem circles back to Ministry of Tourism and then the government as a whole. But since this is something that isn't about to change, we just say it is what it is and work hard to live. Because that's what we have to do anyway. We have to live. We have the last person, get the key, lock up the country, and that is it. Be like Stan Chart, be like Shoprite, be like Nakumat. Guys, everything is closing. If you don't realize how bad that is and you're still thinking your future is secured, I have something to tell you. And if anyone comes to my inbox telling me, oh, at least you're not in this country, I won't mention countries, But you all know countries that are suffering. Eh? Oh, at least you're not in this country. Oh, I will slap you. Because there's billions of people saying, at least you're not born in Uganda. At least you're not Ugandan. Even our neighboring countries are saying that. So, chidibubi. Now, on a serious note, nyege nyege is a good concept. Foreigners must be bathing in it because these are small monies for them. But for Ugandans, I don't know how much further it can hold because clearly the turn-up showed that things are collapsing. Ticked off of things to do and never to do again. I won't lie. Panay, guys, a girl can talk, but a girl knows when to stop talking. This episode has been so last minute. It is coming to 10:30 p.m. And I shan't lie, it had totally skipped my mind that tomorrow is Podcast Friday. And I promise myself that I shall remain consistent with this baby of mine, come rain, come snow. So I decided to speak on a topic that makes my heart dance, you know? Like, the travel is it for me, Guys, contact Uganda Tourism Board for me, Lily Ajova, Amos Wekesa. I don't know anyone to make this possible for me. Like anyone in Uganda Tourism Board, Explore Uganda. Oh, God. These are like brands I would really want to work for. Uganda Airlines, Ngali In Flight Magazine. I know I have potential for this to improve them, actually. Yeah. I have so many ideas for the travel industry in Uganda. It's just that, man. Mutukola will be no. People who have the power, you guys are doing us badly. Our country really has so much potential, man. But anyways, this is the end. Next episode, we shall carry on from here as I take you on a Lubega adventure to Makshon Falls National Game Park. That one, I wanted to give it its own episode because it is very special to me. There's travel, but then there's traveling with family. Now that is something untouchable. I cannot wait to share those intimate memories with you. So until then, my parting shot with you this time is health-wise. Keep yourself and your circle safe from mpox. You guys, mpox is real. And correction, it's not called monkeypox. The name is mpox. It is amongst us. Do not wait to know someone or become that someone with it. Let us not make a repeat of COVID, please. So be the shield to your circle and ensure that you do not get this disease. To be honest, it has so many side, it has like its side effects, it has its issues. There have been registered deaths. Do not wait to become the next victim or to know someone who is the next victim. Plus, if you have acne, I keep on telling guys, if you have acne, there's no way you'd want something like mpox. Of course, this is way more serious than acne, but I'm just trying to make people understand. And for guys with skin, this should be an issue for you because Bambi, it comes like chicken pox and worse, like way, way worse. And you have all these good things on your skin. And yeah. And then scars. Some of us who have struggled with acne, like, yeah, we understand how bad that can be. But that is just for, that's even something small to show, not even to show how serious it is, but like something that can maybe make you understand that you wouldn't want to get this thing. It attacks in all ways through all kinds of body contact. So, one, abstain. Abstain first of all because of HIV, pregnancy, mpox, syphilis, etc. But yeah, that is it. Keep alive in prayer because it is your daily bread to grow. and start packing your bags to go on your own adventure. Create memories, man. Live a little. Mi amigos, te amo. Ciao.